after decade. And I've always felt that the privilege came with a responsibility to keep this daily half hour a safe place for family fun. Just a game.
He recorded more than 8,000 episodes. I was actually on one of them that aired in 2001.
We need three more consonants and a vowel.
P.
It's one.
M.
Two.
H.
And your vowel.
A.
Okay, you're going to get, no, you're fine. You're going to get a couple of P's, which means you can do this.
Flip-flop?
I think you will, yes.
A lot of fun. I actually won $43,800. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, I just don't get it. What was in it for them?
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's summer driving season in Wisconsin. Some local leaders look forward to a future of cleaner cars under tighter federal emissions standards. Mike Moan reports.
This spring, the federal EPA announced finalized pollution standards for cars and light trucks, covering model years 2027 through 2032. For example, they require an industry-wide target of reducing light-duty vehicle emissions by 50%. Chippewa County Board of Supervisors member Pamela Goodman says as a nurse, she's well aware of elevated asthma cases in her region. She hopes those can be addressed with fewer cars emitting harmful pollutants.
These EPA standards are necessary to decrease the harmful particulate matter, to save lives of our children, grandchildren, and community members right here in Eau Claire and throughout Wisconsin.
In a news conference, Goodman and other local leaders touted the economic benefits of adding more electric vehicles to the road. Those include consumer savings on repairs and maintenance. They hope policymakers ignore opposition from the oil industry and other skeptics. The rules don't require automakers to use one type of technology, but opponents say subsidies give EVs an unfair advantage. Goodman says maintaining these new standards can also reduce healthcare costs while keeping the labor force strong.
Keeping employers and employees happy by people being healthy enough to get to work.
Environmental policy experts say the new standards also provide more certainty for the automotive industry as it transitions to electric vehicles. EVs are still projected to reach 40% of total passenger car sales in the U.S. by 2030. More optimistic forecasts say they could top 50%. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of sprinkles, otherwise mostly cloudy, with a high near 70. For tonight, becoming clear with a low around 56. Sunny mid-70s on your Sunday. For Monday, sunshine with a high near 65. 68 Tuesday and back to the low 70s by Wednesday.
Right now, it's 55.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, it's week two of Joe Biden's top 100. We've covered the economy. Next up, education. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matinee on Air.
June 8th, 2024. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I am your host, Don Brown. I am joined, reunited by our wonderful producer, Anastasia, or Anya for short. How are you, Anya?
Good. How are you doing,
Don? Good, good. So great to see you again. And we're coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the WAUK studios in downtown. And it's really been quite a week to remember in so many ways. It's also graduation day today. So if you're looking, if you're watching this on StreamYard, you'll see I have a blazer on. So a couple of reasons is one, it's my son Evan is graduating, so I'll be leaving the show early. And two, Jim Santel, whose show Amicus, a law review follows mine, is coming in early. And this is a tribute to Jim because Jim is always well coiffed when he shows up for his shows. And so really excited to celebrate with Jim. And couple, you know, it was the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And I just wanted to comment that it was just really wonderful to see all the great remembrances, all the great ceremonies going on out there at Normandy. And like there was some high school students from Lincoln High School in Nebraska that brought bags of sand, and they went to all the alumni that were killed in the D-Day invasion. And I guess when you're putting sand on those cross-shaped graves over the names, over the like the fonts, the etch, that it cleans out. It was just a really nice touch. I was really touched and seeing young people, you know, high school age people doing that. I thought that was just wonderful. And there was a great scene with the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau was there, but it's actually the president of the Ukraine was there. I believe Zelensky is his name. And he had an embrace with one of the veterans, a 95-year-old veteran. And it was just really, and they showed it on, there was like a screen behind them. So people there in attendance could see, and it was just a real heartfelt embrace. And they shared a few laughs, and just so many great moments. And I also, you know, on social media, TikTok, Facebook, all those things, you see all these great little memes. And one that really impressed me was one from the late Vin Scully on D-Day. He was broadcasting a Dodgers game, and he was reflecting on the number of people that they anticipated would be killed. Indeed, that there would be 10,000 killed, easily another 30,000 wounded, and that the Army had already prepared like 60,000 blankets and 10,000 stretchers, and that almost 1,000 people were actually killed in the training and preparation for D-Day. And so just so many people, again, that that gave their lives, gave the ultimate sacrifice that we should never forget in this key moment. And I'd also like to take a quick moment in remembering D-Day, if I can pull it up here, was, and Vin Scully had mentioned this, that Eisenhower wrote two letters. There's the famous one of the Great Crusade. I'll read it momentarily. And then there was a second letter expressing remorse or regret, you know, that even the great general Dwight David Eisenhower had fears or insecurities about how this would go. And but I think it's a great, you know, for this week in Waukesha, we want to honor this week and D-Day with the letter from Eisenhower to all the soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force. You are about to embark on the Great Crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty, loving people everywhere, march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940 and 41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle man-to-man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together in victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck. And let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. Signed, Dwight David Eisenhower. And, you know, reading that always tugs at the heartstrings for me. And it was really great to see so many great reflections around the world, not just at Normandy. My guest this morning, I guess I should mention, he's been sitting here quietly and patiently, and you can see him in the stream yard. Samuel D'Amico, who will be graduating from Waukesha South, not today, but in December. And he is also a candidate for the state assembly, district number 82, held by incumbent Scott Allen. And Scott's my guest in the second hour. And so this will be a great show. We have plenty to talk about. But before we begin with Sam, and do you prefer Sam or Samuel?
Doesn't matter. You can pick.
Just not late for dinner, right? Sounds great. So this week marks another historic mile, you know, not one. I mean, both obviously had their tragedies. And of course, with D-Day, there was that led to the ultimate victory over tyranny. But it's also during this week that we lost. How many years ago is it now? How's my math? 56, 60s. It was the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy after winning the Democratic primary in California, and really one of the sadder moments in history. And one of the advantages of Facebook, in my opinion, is that you can connect with people that you didn't grow up with or knew from college or high school or the old neighborhood, but people that shared a common affection for a certain cause. And I've had the privilege of becoming friends with people that worked on Robert Kennedy's campaign. And one gentleman who was there, he was actually in the kitchen pantry where Kennedy was assassinated. A bullet had missed this guy's head by inches. He wrote this. And I'll read this anonymously out of respect for him. For us who worked for Bobby Kennedy, June 4th, 5th, and 6th are days of personal anguish. I came a mere foot from potentially dying with Bobby. The trauma and PTSD have never gone away. You learn to live with it. There is no way to forget a bullet striking the pantry doorframe of the Ambassador Hotel and a spark crossing my face. You can't forget the screams of horror, the moans of those shot. But we went on to live and most thrived. It's interesting to relate the outcome of that moment. For me, that came to crystallization that July. For many weeks, I lived in a daze, feeling the earth under my feet had disappeared, and I was free-falling to God knows where. I found myself in July in Watts, the black ghetto of L.A. The Revitalization Corps were mostly college kids led by the charismatic Burt Wilson. We painted the elderly's homes, took kids to the mountains and beach. Our clubhouse was near 103 and Graham. One day I was on the street and I was accosted by a resident in his late 20s. His gaze was hostile and he barked at me, "What the F are you doing here?" I stood stunned, knowing I indeed was a person out of his element. I heard myself answer him, "I worked for Bobby." But I never got out Kennedy. His face turned ashen and tears filled his eyes. I saw him right over there, painting across the street. What are we going to do now? They killed all of them. Of course, I knew what he meant from 63 to 68. There was Medgar Evers, John F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and finally Robert F. Kennedy, all gunned down. All were heroes of change. What are we going to do now? He asked me. But now our mutual anguish had me physically shaken, tears streaming down my face. They can't kill all of us, I told him. We both left shaking. The misery, what it seemed, would never end. 30 years later, I was working as a service writer in an automotive business. A car pulled in, and a college-aged man stepped out and addressed me. Mr. Z, we'll call him. What are you doing here? He seemed stunned that I would be doing such a menial job. He told me he was a pre-med student. A coworker heard him and asked, you know him? And my former student looked at him. He was my history teacher in junior high. I bet you remember a lot from junior high. Now, my former student glared at the coworker. I could see the anger in his eyes. I remember everything this guy taught us, especially about the Kennedys. I suppose that was vindication for being an underpaid educator. But it as well was a bookend to that day in Watts. I found my purpose and kindled the flame of hope in a new generation. These days now in 2024 seem like those days in 1968. We've survived them and we will now. Hope cannot be ended with a bullet. And I love that. And that's kind of become my mantra now. Hope cannot be ended with a bullet. And real quick, you know, anyone that remembers the eulogy of Robert Kennedy delivered by his brother Ted, he'd mentioned, you know, he'd referred to what Robert had talked about, that the answer in our future relies in youth, not just a time in life, but a state of mind, an appetite for adventure over the love of ease. And here in front of me is a good example of that. 17-year-old Sam D'Amico, is that right? Running for state office, running for Wisconsin State Assembly in the Democratic primary in the 82nd district. And, you know, in that eulogy, Kennedy refers to a young explorer who found the other side of the earth, a 33-year-old Alexander that conquered most of the world, a 32-year-old Thomas Jefferson who declared that all men are created equal, and a 16-year-old Joan of Arc that reclaimed the territory of France. And I don't want to make too many comparisons because I don't know much about Sam, but real quick, we have 2 minutes. Tell us why you run and what makes you a good candidate, why people should take a serious look at Sam D'Amico.
Sure. Well, so, I mean, I've lived in Waukesha my whole life. So, you know, every day I've decided and enjoyed calling Waukesha home. I went to all public schools here. I've worked since I was 14 right here in our city. And, you know, I've definitely made a life, even at my young age, right here in our city. You know, when I was a young kid, I thought that despite my family's financial situation, that I could grow up and do and be anything. I wanted to be a police officer, public school teacher, bus driver, you name it, I probably wanted to be it. And, you know, that unwavering sense of optimism that you can do and be anything despite the financial situation you were born into, you know, I feel has been slipping away from a lot of kids and their parents the past couple of years. You know, it's becoming more expensive, more difficult, more indecisive to get ahead and stay ahead. And, you know, I decided that I needed to do something about that. And
sounds so great. We're going to continue with Samuel D'Amico, candidate for the Democratic primary of the State Assembly District 82. Plus local sports, a lot of great local sports, other local news and so much more here on This Week in Waukesha.
Don't just talk about it.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. skee-ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the skee-ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The world is waiting for the sunrise every road.
You're listening This Week in Waukesha with your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in. I am reunited, and it feels so good with our wonderful producer, Anya, who's doing so much for civic media in so many ways. And I believe, Busted Pencils is one of the great shows that she produces, or Las Pieces Rotos. I just learned that. That's how you say it in Spanish. So, but I'm really glad to have her here this morning. And my guest again is the Democratic candidate for State Assembly, 82nd District, Sam D'Amico. And Sam, being born and raised, you obviously have heard of Les Paul, and that's that song. It's kind of our ritual. The world is waiting for the sunrise, and every time we've played it, we've had a lot of luck with the sun coming out. It hasn't happened quite yet. It's currently 55 and cloudy, and there's been some light sprinkles, and it's going to be a cool day throughout the day. I think the high is going to be like 64, which it's a great day for outdoor sports. My daughter's in a tournament at the Heppner Horn VFW Lodge 5716 in New Berlin. And so long as the rain holds out, it should be a great day. And before we continue with Sam, too, I want to give a big shout out to the Catholic Memorial High School girls varsity soccer team, who had an amazing victory in double overtime against New Berlin West in the WIAA semifinals, and Claire Weber with the game winner on a corner kick. It was fantastic. I've seen the video. It's amazing. And so congratulations to the Crusaders, who take on New Berlin Eisenhower today at 5:30 at Carroll University. I imagine that'll be at Schneider Stadium. So fill the stands for those Crusaders. I don't think you have to be a Crusaders fan to get excited about something like this. We've seen some amazing sectional finals. Sam, were you at the one with the volleyball final when the Fusion beat CMH?
I was
last
not.
Play. And it was a five set.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's the stuff movies are made of. And so it's, I really encourage anyone that's available to check that out. I know it's a busy day with graduation and graduation parties. And I know why all the high schools have the project graduation at night, which I think is a brilliant idea to provide a safe environment for the kids to celebrate this rite of passage. And so Sam, looks, Sam's actually, you're graduating later in the year, in December, I believe. And after this, you're going to be running downtown to the state Democratic convention, helping out there. So it's interesting to show like where you're obviously very focused on politics and public service.
Yep. Have been for a long time.
Sure. What inspired you, or what was it that ignited you? You mentioned at a young age, at Horning Middle School, where my daughter just graduated from, that you were voted most likely to become president.
Yeah, so at the end of our eighth grade class, I was in the Flight Academy, and we had held this maybe about week-long voting where we all voted on behalf of another student of who was most likely this or most that, and I was voted, I was told, by a wide margin to be the most likely elected president later sometime in life.
Sure. Well, it's got to be a good feeling. And what makes this year's primary interesting and the general election, Scott Allen is the incumbent. And he's my guest in the next hour. But with the fair maps and the rezoning, the 82nd district has been reshaped to where I think it's somewhere between 42-48% of that original district is now gone. Mm-hmm. And so some feel that, even though Scott's the incumbent, it's very much like he's running as a first time candidate, with a significant part of the voter segment being new.
Yeah, because he's running in a district that a large part of our district had never voted for him before. So he'll definitely be running in a new district.
Well, and certainly you've got a hurdle before, if you have the chance to compete against Scott in the general election, is in the primary. You have Kevin Riley, who has some experience at the county level, and he serves on some boards and commissions with the city. He is Mayor Sean's brother, a Riley name, very established here. And I think Kevin even said running as a Riley in Waukesha is like running as a Kennedy in Massachusetts. And, you know, what is your strategy for taking on, shall we say, the Riley legacy?
Sure. Well, you know, my strategy is to basically just talk to as many voters as possible. You know, I think that a lot of people are more interested in politics at the local level and politics where, you know, I can knock on someone's door and we can have a fruitful conversation. And, you know, I'm running in this Democratic primary because I'm the only candidate that has for the past 4 or 5 years has been helping local Democrats. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I do have a more upper hand when it comes to Democrats in this primary. And that's why I decided to get involved.
Terrific. And so what other what would you say? What experiences? Because I know we kind of started this question. What experiences have you had work wise, school wise, volunteer wise that you think will serve you well? Should you become the next state assemblyman for the 82nd district?
Sure. So for the past 5 years, I've been working very closely with Waukesha School Board politics. About 3 years ago, I was the campaign manager for Sarah Harrison's Waukesha School Board campaign. We were running an 8-way primary, first primary that had happened in the school district of Waukesha in 20 years. And, you know, Sarah was a pretty much unknown candidate. We were running against 4 incumbents and 3 endorsed candidates from the Wisconsin Republican Party. One incumbent used to have the endorsement of the Republican Party, and one candidate was too radical to get it. Mm. And, you know, in that primary, under my leadership, we unseated a conservative incumbent in that 8-way primary, and Sarah Harrison went to lose the general election by less than 500 votes when the top 2 vote-getters beat us by thousands. So, you know, we definitely almost won that election because we took it to the neighborhoods. We knocked on as many doors as we could, and we didn't let politics get in the way of us talking to families, you know, about what was going on in our school board. And so, you know, I have the experience beating Republicans in Waukesha. I have the experience working with both sides and the experience, particularly in public schools and education, to actually bring people together on an issue that I don't think politics should divide us on.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's well said. That's definitely well said. And with this campaign experience, you've got to meet some neighbors. You've got to hear what they're saying. And that's obviously some good learning lessons as you prepare for your own campaign. What is your campaign structure like now as you run for the assembly?
Sure. So, you know, our campaign structure is very simple. We're going to be getting out, going to events like Friday Night Live and the Farmers Market, spending as much time as we
can. Were you there last night for the opening?
I was not there last night. Okay. I had to work.
Okay. Where do you work now?
So I work over at Quick Trip.
Fantastic.
And, you know, our strategy is really just to talk to as many people, go on the neighborhoods.
Does being at Quick Trip help knowing it's a central location for a lot of young voters and just a lot of families now? It's like the fridge.
It probably could be. I work at a location that's kind of off of the highway. So depending on where you're coming from, where you're going, you're probably not even in the district.
Oh, okay. So it's not, is that 164 there or no?
It's right over on Fleetfoot Drive and Les Paul Parkway.
Okay. Yeah. I think we'll be talking about the same one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's actually in the village of Waukesha.
It is. It is.
So, yeah. But, well, I'll tell you this. Before I forget, we're going to have a couple call-ins from the farmer's market from our booth there, giving us an update. And the rain hasn't come down, and it's nice and cool. It's a great day to do some shopping. So we look forward to hearing about that. And then also check out Big Deals on our website for some more great deals on gift cards, especially now with graduation and Father's Day approaching. And so much more to talk about here with Sam D'Amico, candidate for State Assembly, here on This Week in Waukesha.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Excessive heat in the Southwest and getting overheated can be dangerous. Denise Carmack is a registered nurse in Sparks, Nevada.
They can start acting confused. They can be a little bit agitated. They can even have some slurred speech.
Las Vegas has set a new record high for the second day in a row, and Albuquerque tied its high mark for this time of the year as well. The gun trial of Hunter Biden continues in Wilmington, Delaware on Monday. The defense is considering putting Hunter himself on the stand. Former Justice Department Prosecutor Tom Dupree says it's a risky move.
When you put the defendant on the stand to testify in his own defense, you're risking opening a Pandora's box.
Russia's about to begin naval exercises in the Caribbean.
As U.S. support for the war in Ukraine continues, we should expect Vladimir Putin to continue to flex his muscles on the world stage and to engage in further shows of force.
That's CBS's Samantha Vinograd. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It all comes together for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee bounced back in a big way Friday, blowing out the Detroit Tigers 10-0. In addition to a strong offensive showing, Tobias Myers pitched a gem in the longest pitching outing of the season for the Brewers.
It was just pitch by pitch, and then next start came around. I think I'd gotten to like trying to force results. So today was literally just one pitch at a time. That was all I was thinking about, just next pitch.
Myers allowed one hit in 8 innings of work. Today, it'll be Freddy Peralta pitching for the Brewers in Game 2 of the 3-game series. Glenn Day and Boo Weekly lead the AmFam Championship at University Ridge at 4 under par after the first day. Wisconsin natives Jerry Kelly and Steve Stricker are one shot back of the leaders. The event continues through tomorrow. And today, high school champions will be crowned in the sports of softball, tennis, and lacrosse. All three events are being held in Dane County. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
WAUK Weather is sponsored by Planet X in Brookfield. Stocked with the freshest cigars at the best prices, 173rd and West Blue Mound Road.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of sprinkles, otherwise mostly cloudy, with a high near 70. For tonight, becoming clear with a low around 56. Sunny mid-70s on your Sunday. For Monday, sunshine with a high near 65. 68 Tuesday and back to the low 70s by Wednesday.
Right now, it's 55.
Introducing Brookfield's newest cigar and vape shop, Planet X. They have endless options with their wide variety of products. Experience luxury in their expansive cigar room, stocked with only the freshest cigars. And the best part? Planet X offers the cheapest prices in Brookfield. Open to serve you Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until midnight, and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come in today for cigars, vapes, and much more at Planet X.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Have a great weekend. Coming up on Monday, meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us to give us a look at the weather for the week ahead.
And then Chad Cornett from Cantilever Studio stops by to talk about some of the interesting work he's involved in.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha with your host, Don Brown. And Anya's on the board. And that's Primitive Radio Gods with Standing Outside a Phone Booth with Money in My Pocket. And I bet Sam D'Amico might not even know what a phone booth is, right, in this age of cellular.
I've used one before.
There you go. So I played that song. A couple of songs are by design here. Is when my son Evan was a little boy who's graduating today. That was one of the songs we used to sing together. I used to play for him. And anyway, just so many great memories going through my head on this very special day. And I also know it's very much a love song, so it's an ode to my wife Melissa Evan's mom, and obviously a very emotional day for her too, and very special day. So, but hey, speaking of special too, I want to shout out one of Evan's classmates also graduating today, and I think you know him, Sam. Connor Boyle this week earned a third place finish at state competition. He's had quite a career in track, and I believe he's going to go on and compete in track in college. So congratulations to Connor and his family, not only for that feat, but also for graduating today. I think that's just wonderful news. And speaking of school, too, a lot of great summer school opportunities and things going on. So be sure to check out the Infinite Campus Parent Portal for all Waukesha School District families. So now, one of the conversations we had with Sam D'Amico, was we started with talking about his strategy for taking on Kevin Riley in the primary and taking on that Riley legacy and Kevin's vast experiences. But should you win, now you've got incumbent Scott Allen, whose name precedes himself in many circles. And I believe he served 3 or 4 terms in the state, was a city councilman. And, you know, as you know from growing up here, you live in a fairly red city. They say it's starting to get a little bluer. And, you know, what is your strategy for, because just by sheer numbers, you would have to win on a Republican crossover. You know, what is your strategy or nonpartisan crossover or
sure.
selection, I should say.
And you know what? Our strategy is the same principle I've been leading with for the past 4 or 5 years. We're going to talk to everybody. We're going to have the conversations that I think should supersede politics, you know, everything from education to election integrity, even things we can agree with on our economy. We're going to have those conversations with our neighbors that might not even vote the same way on every candidate, every race. But, you know, we're going to have those conversations that we can bring people together. And, you know, I'm going to be open and honest with our community and, you know, tell them things you know, that we can all agree with. You know, I'm running against a candidate that was, after Donald Trump lost the 2020 election, wrote the bill to impeach the elections administrator that simply did her job, Megan Wolf. And then he wrote the bill to dissolve the WEC after leading a campaign in the state assembly for election integrity. And so we're going to have those conversations with our neighbors, and I think there are Republicans that can't even get behind some of the bills that he's written, and there are Democrats that can help us lead that message. Bottom line, we're going to talk to everybody.
Terrific. And so what in your campaign, and well, should you win, what's your platform? What are, say, the 2 or 3 hot button issues you look to address as a state assemblyman?
So I'd say first public education and then the economy. You know, the whole reason I got involved in politics was public education. I think one of the first things we're going to try to do when I get to the state assembly is we're going to repeal Act 10, and we're going to put teachers back in the driver's seat. We're going to give them the support they need. We're going to bring parents into the conversation. And I think it's important to understand that, you know, I recently in public school, still haven't graduated yet. And I think one perspective we're missing from the whole education conversation is the student's perspective. And I'm the only candidate in this race, Republican or Democrat, that can provide that student perspective. When it comes to the economy I spoke about earlier, you know, when I was a kid, I felt that I could do and be anything despite my family's financial situation. And that unwavering sense of optimism has been slowly disappearing. And I think what we need to do is we need to bring that back. We need to revitalize our middle class, and we need to bring power back to our middle class families here in Waukesha.
Terrific. No, yeah, thanks for that. And speaking of, yeah, you mentioned the economy, and it reminded me that the Maggie Dawn show that's on Monday through Friday, 2 to 4, has she's doing a segment now called the 100 Days of Joe Biden, where they're basically going to focus on his work in his term as president. I imagine his previous work as vice president and other. And really the intent is just to shine more light because, again, in this news cycle, there's obviously a lot of focus on former President Trump. And he certainly does a lot to excite media attention. But what Maggie's intention is to kind of just get at the nuts and bolts that what Joe Biden has done and what's been, I guess, well received by people on the other side of the aisle, or especially by the majority of us nonpartisans that are feeling some of the positive economic impacts, the Infrastructure Act, the inflation reduction. So I encourage everybody with an open mind to take a listen to Maggie's show. And you know, she's obviously could do a much deeper dive than I'm able to. But I encourage you to learn about, you know, all the candidates. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up about the economy. So, and I think in this kind of he said, she said world of debate now, this polarizing debate, you know, the only thing you'll hear about, oh, rising prices, inflation, and somehow that reflects on the Biden white. They have ultimate control over that. But, you know, how do you address, because I'm sure you're hearing that from people. How do you address that?
Well, you know, one of the biggest things that you always start with is that when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the gas pump and you see rising prices, they don't ask you your party affiliation before they tell you how much something costs. Mm-hmm. You know, these rising prices, you know, they've been affecting all of us. And it's not Republican or Democrat. It's higher end, lower end of the economy line. And so I think the first step is that you explain to people, you know, we're all facing higher prices. You know, it's also a good thing to inform people that we're doing better than we have been in a long time. You know, since COVID levels, we're doing excellent. And even pre-COVID levels, we're back on track for economic growth and the unemployment rate. We're adding hundreds of thousands of jobs per month, and Wisconsin is even outperforming some other states in our country. Mm. So I think the first thing you do is you find common ground with people, you place the facts, and you have the conversation.
Terrific. I appreciate that. And Anya, if it's okay with you, because you're a young voter, I want. Do you have a question for Sam that I haven't maybe approached or touched upon? I know I sprung this on you, so I apologize. Anya.
Yeah, I guess for I would ask, you know, what is something that, you know, it's kind of been framed as, since you're young, it's kind of a disadvantage. But what do you think are the advantages of being I have to assume you're the youngest candidate in this race, right? There's no 16-year-olds out there, are there?
No, I am the youngest in this race by far.
Yeah. So what do you think is like an advantage to your age as opposed to maybe some of the disadvantages of like, well, you haven't run before or something like that?
Thank you. That's a great question.
Well, so I think an advantage I clearly have is, as I stated earlier, you know, a perspective that we're missing from the education conversation is the student's perspective. And I think that when you tell people that I'm the only candidate in this race that can provide that perspective, they really do start to understand that that's an important perspective. You know, there's a lot of voters, even Republicans and Democrats, that agree in the past 5-10 years, education, we need to change something with what's going on in education in Wisconsin. And when you tell people, you know what, I've been through our public school system. I've only ever gone to Waukesha Public Schools. One of the biggest advantages I have is I have the experiences of being in, you know, these gun lockdown drills. I have the experience of going through these classes and textbooks that the school board's implementing. I have a firsthand experience of policies that our school board and even state legislature are implementing in our education system. And so as public education is probably one of my most important issues, being able to provide the student perspective is probably one of the biggest advantages I have in this race.
Cool. Well said. Hey, thank you for that. Thank you for the question too, Anya. And real quick, switching gear, because we mentioned nonpartisan issues. My guest on June 22nd is 4th District Alderman Joe Piper, who has always been very well outspoken that at the local level, neighbors, they don't care Republican or Democrat. They want their garbage service to be spot on. They want good schools. They want safe streets, all those things that unite us. They're common issues that we all should be keen on and should be just aloof from the partisan vitriol. So I look forward to having Joe on. Joe also chairs the finance committee, and he's been a great resource for our city. So, and I'm glad he's coming on. And then Joe will also be joined by, there's a retired Milwaukee police officer that's got a new podcast out. And so I'm looking forward to having him on. I apologize, his name escapes me, but we're supposed to have a dialogue this week. I owe him a phone call. And then Ben Steinhoff, Democratic candidate for U.S. Congress against Scott Fitzgerald. We have reached out to Fitzgerald's office, and we'd like to invite him on also hopefully the following week, if give him a chance to tell his story. And so, yeah. And then also next week, June 15th, my birthday, it'll be Anarchy in the WAUK with the Nunchucks. I don't know if you've seen them, Sam, with frontman Evan Ben Dixon. It's another high school band that's doing punk rock. So that's exciting to me. So I'm really looking forward to that show next week. So, but here with Sam in the about 3 to 4 minutes we have left. I know you got to drive downtown for the convention, the Democratic convention. What is it you'd like to say about Samuel D'Amico that we have not talked about yet in this interview that you want listeners and potential voters to know?
Sure. You know, I think the most important thing to understand is I'm not a politician, probably not even old enough to have been one. You know, I'm not even close. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think that in this race, we're looking for someone who has been a politician, who has had the longevity of experience. We're not looking for someone to just give us more of the same. You know, we have a incumbent representative who has been there for better part of a decade, and we're still facing the same challenges, if not worse than when he stepped into office. And I think the one thing that everyone is looking for is a fresh face. And I would attest that that is me. I am a fresh face in this race, a part of the new generation that will one day inherit our state. And I'm trying to make our state a better place, and this campaign is how we do so.
Sure. And I believe there's been an influx of young voters in the past couple elections that have influenced election outcomes. I know with Tony Evers' victory over Scott Walker a couple terms ago, it was the young vote that really helped deliver. And do you figure, too, with you being in that age group, that you're going to inspire more young voters to come out for Sam D'Amico?
Sure.
Especially first-time voters?
Yeah. You know, we do hope that is the case. We are reaching out to as many groups as possible. And Waukesha being a university town with Carroll, you know, right in our backyards, there are so many students that go to Carroll that live right here in our neighborhoods. And I do definitely think that the young vote, and not even just young voters, but people who have never voted in an election before that may be 20, 30, 40 years old, the young vote and the new vote will be deciding this election. And, you know, yes, I do believe that that is where a lot of our support will come from, both in the primary and in the general election.
Sure. And then upon voting too, what would you do to inspire these young people to become more involved like yourself in politics, government, volunteer service?
Sure. You know, community. I think being a young candidate is enough to inspire a lot of people. And I also think that other avenues we can go is explain to a lot of kids how politics and even these local races, you know, do affect their everyday life. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about prices, gas prices, prices at the grocery store, talking about education. They go to Carroll. You know, there's a lot of issues that politics intermingles with their everyday life. And I think when we bring them into the discussion, it's really helpful.
Sounds great. Samuel D'Amico, Democratic candidate for the State Assembly, 82nd District primary. Vote takes place in August. So check out Sam. I know he's got a Facebook page. And good luck on the rest of your campaign. And stick around. So much more here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio. Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
We are experiencing a stretch of severe weather in Wisconsin. 22 tornadoes were reported over 4 different days. This includes the strongest one that ripped through Evansville area, marking the first time that a tornado ever touched down during the month of February in Wisconsin. Now, we typically average 23 tornadoes during an entire year and recorded 21 in 2023. But we've already surpassed last year, and what's considered to be the most severe weather months of June and July are still ahead of us. One more thing, forecasters are predicting a shift to a La Nina climate pattern in July, meaning our severe weather season could be longer and more damaging than ever. Information you need to be sure you and your family are always weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Shaw, WAUK.
For a 12-month and a day, and if anyone should ask me the reason why I'm wearing it, it's all for my true love, who's far, far away.
Fare thee well, cold winter, and fare thee well.
Hey, you're listening This Week in Waukesha on WAUK, 540 AM. 101.1 FM, The Shaw, and the Civic Media app. And, I would like to know anyone listening if they remember that song, All Around My Hat, by the Welsh band Steel Eye Span. Fantastic one-hit wonder that survived the test of time. And another song I would sing to my son, Evan, to all my kids when they're young at bedtime. I would have, like, kind of a list of songs I would sing to help them sleep. And that was one of them, All Around My Hat. And also a favorite at, a youth football team I played on, the last game of every season, the fans would sing that song. And it was always, and it was kind of a send off to the players, especially the seniors, and tugs at the old heartstrings again. And more fond memories as we approach graduation today for so many seniors here at Waukesha, South, North, West, and wishing them very well on this day. And Samuel D'Amico, for those of you just tuning in, was my guest here in the first hour. He is a 17-year-old candidate for the state assembly primary, Democratic primary, challenging Kevin Riley. And if you check my podcast page, last week I had Kevin Riley, the other candidate, and then I also had Megan Locke, who's running for state senate, against Julian Bradley. And I've invited I've reached out to his campaign to invite him to come on the show. I've not heard back. So, but if you missed last week's show, you can catch that podcast and get to learn a little bit more about about those candidates, as well as we should have the other, today's interview with Sam D'Amico on our podcast page probably by Monday. So you can check that out and definitely get to, and of course that will also include Scott Allen, who's the incumbent state rep, who's my guest here in the second hour. And so Scott's a good friend, looking forward to catching up with him and hearing more about him. And I'll be leaving the show early. So Jim Santel, who's celebrating his 100th show with his show now called Amicus, a Law Review. And so it's another reason I'm wearing the blazer in Jim's honor. Jim always outdoes most of us with the way he dresses here for the show. So, oops, hang on. I got Scott Allen's at the door right now, actually, so we might even be able to bring him on sooner. So, oh, this is great. So, good morning, Scott. Are you ready to come on now?
Good morning.
I think he's ready, yeah. Sure, yeah, come on in. Make yourself comfortable. We'll do a quick test on air. This is kind of fun. It's all happening live. But before Scott gets comfortable, don't forget, in the second hour, we're going to get 2 reports from the farmer's market from our exhibition there. And so we're looking forward to that call. And we are taking your calls on the Civic Media app. So if you don't have it already, download it. And then once you do, just look for the little telephone icon and click on that. And that'll get you through to Anya, who will patch you through to us. And so let's see. Scott, are you ready?
Yeah. Is it possible to turn the volume down in these headsets?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's actually here. If you want to play with it a little bit, follow your cord. Otherwise, you can just kind of take your Your headset off. Is that better for you?
That's much better.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. All right. Well, Scott, welcome. And I'm glad you're early so we can give you a little bit more time. And how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I was thinking on the way over here, do they ever call you Downtown Donnie Brown?
Yeah. You know, I used to call myself that on the show. I still do. But that all started when I was living in Evanston, Illinois, and I was with a restaurant group. We had four restaurants in downtown Evanston. And that was around the time when MTV had Downtown Judy Brown or whatever her name was. She was fun. She had that great English accent and really funny and, you know, attractive, all those things. And very funny. And so that, because she was popular at the time, that's, yeah, so a lot of people would call me that. And
yeah.
Our restaurants were all downtown, so I was comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so
fun for a radio personality, right?
Oh, yeah. When I'd come in, occasionally I would say, yeah, I'm, you know, Downtown Donnie Brown or the Unsinkable Don Brown, or I'd think of, you know, we'll have to think of some new monikers, but we are downtown here in the WAUK studios in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown and another former alderman and incumbent state representative Scott Allen here to talk about his big campaign. And it's a new wrinkle for you this campaign season because of the newly aligned district. Is that fair to say?
I'm looking forward to meeting some new people. I've represented Waukesha in the state legislature since 2015. So, you know, the funny thing is a lot of my colleagues have, their districts have been really totally reshaped. In my case, I mean, even though there's technically new territory, the new territory is the city that I've been representing since 2015. So it's not like people stopped hearing about me or I stopped
right.
interacting with people at the boundary line between the old 97th and the 98th. Many of the events that I went to were in the 98th, which is now part of what they call the 82nd. So it's really familiar territory. I mean, I've been representing,
sure.
working in Waukesha since the early 1990s. So
right.
it's not new territory at all.
Well, and I just had a thought, too, is that when you go to Madison, you're not just fighting for that sliver of Waukesha. That's your district. You're fighting for the whole city and the whole area here.
Absolutely. I love our community. I think Waukesha is a great place to live. That's why my wife and I chose to live here many years ago. We moved back from Los Angeles. We were out in Los Angeles. I was going to grad school.
Nice.
We lived for a short period of time with her parents in the upper flat of their duplex in Milwaukee. And when we made the choice of saying, well, where do we want to locate? Where do we want to raise our family? We chose Waukesha. It's a great
sure.
community. We love it. And so, yeah, when I go to legislature, when I go to Madison, I'm advocating for Waukesha.
Sure. And you kind of have an advantage, too, because you're obviously running unopposed in your own primary. You're the incumbent and obviously very popular. Your opponents are slugging it out on the Democratic side. Does that obviously buys you more time to get your own name out and your own brand?
Well, it's the same amount of
and
time.
Same message.
You know,
yeah.
the time is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, really the message is, you know, I want to continue to provide professional representation. That's my job. I mean, it's the title is representative to the state assembly. So I represent the people that make up the district. Each district is about 60,000 people. And, you know, I tell people all the time in our correspondence, we get a lot of people that write to us, contact our office. They have questions about this issue, that policy, what have you. And we don't always agree. You know, a lot of times we come down on a different approach or different angle or different side. And I always remind people, you know, I appreciate hearing from you. Your opinion is important. You're a valued member of the community. I represent you. And we may not always agree, but I'm always here to listen.
Sounds great. The conversation continues with State Assemblyman Scott Allen seeking re-election in the newly realigned 82nd District here in This Week in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And don't forget to download the Civic Media app if you have not already. And again, my guests next week are the Nunchucks in a special birthday episode of This Week in Waukesha.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Joe Zepecki here to talk about Project 2025, two women on the opposite side of the abortion issue and a way to make flying a little more enjoyable. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different. But you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way.
That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.